My name is Jay Garrick, and your world is in danger.
What other worlds are there?
When you created the singularity above Central City, you created a portal. If he got through, there'll be more to follow.
Locked and loaded.
I always did like a man who could handle a gun.
You should see my Nerf collection.
Want me? You're gonna have to catch me.
Showtime.
This is Comically, an exploration of the stories behind your favorite comic book characters, people, and events. Episode 6, Who is Jay Garrick? My relationship with The Flash has been somewhat of a rollercoaster ride over the past few decades that I've been reading comic books, and while I'm really enjoying the current run by Van Jensen and Robert Venditti, what has really gotten me excited is the television adaptation of the character being put out by the CW. Season 2 of The Flash is scheduled to begin on October 6th, and one of the new major forces of the show will introduce the original Flash, Jay Garrick, as a major player into the Flash mythology. Fans of the comic book will no doubt be familiar, at least in part, with Garrick's history. But for newer readers or fans of the show, you may not quite know what to expect. Luckily, there's Comically, right? Jay Garrick made his first comic book appearance in 1940's Flash Comics No. 1, published by All American Publications, later combining to form DC Comics, and was created by Gardner Fox and Harry Lampert. Garrick was soon part of All-Star Comics as a founding member of the Justice Society of America, and later starring in his own solo title, 1941's All-Flash, making Garrick one of the key figures of the Golden Age of comic books. Like many superheroes of the era, Jason Peter Garrick gained his powers through a freak laboratory accident when he inhaled heavy water vapors, whatever that may be, giving him superhuman speed and lightning-fast reflexes. Much like his favorite comic book character, Whip Whirlwind. After a brief career as a football superstar, Garrick decides to take on the mantle of the Flash, with his iconic red shirt and winged metal helmet to fight crime. Through much of his career, he would partner with his close friend, Alan Scott, the Green Lantern, a relationship which would endure through the many iterations of the Flash over the years. So what exactly are Garrick's superpowers? Well, of course, he is a speedster, and as such he can run faster than the speed of light. While the various speedsters have their powers set to the speed force, Garrick's powers are fueled by the force itself, and so unlike other speedsters, his abilities cannot be cut off simply by breaking the connection to the speed force. Being super fast would of course be useless without superhuman endurance, so Garrick possesses this as well, along with the other side effects of being able to move so quickly, such as phasing, the ability to move through solid matter, enhanced senses and reflexes, increased brain activity, slowed aging, vortex creation, and more. All Flash was a pretty popular title, but World War II saw a shift in public attitude towards superhero comics, and by 1948, the book was canceled, as were its companion publications within a few years. By the mid-1950s, DC relaunched some of its properties, Flash being one of the most important. But this was a new era for comics, and DC reimagined the character of the Flash with a new costume and a new person taking over the mantle, Barry Allen. In this new mythology, Jay Garrick never actually existed as a real person, but was instead a character which Allen read in a comic book. Reader reception of Barry Allen was a bit mixed, as there were still many readers for whom Garrick was still the Flash. But it wouldn't be until Flash number 123 that Garrick would return to the comics. In this story, Garrick lives in a parallel universe to Allen, a concept which many comic book readers have become all too familiar with, and which has led to some great storylines, like the recent Multiversity, and some very lackluster ones as well. Let's just not go there this time around, okay? Garrick continued to make appearances in The Flash through the 60s and 70s, but it wasn't until 1976 when DC relaunched All-Star Comics that Garrick took center stage again, along with his teammates from the Golden Age, the Justice Society. Garrick continued to see growing interest throughout the 80s, and was featured prominently in 1985's Crisis on Infinite Earths. During Crisis, Jay discovers the Speed Force, the force which gives all speedsters their power, has disappeared after all the speedsters battle with Superboy Prime and disappear into the Speed Force. Without the Speed Force, Garrick is still fast, able to run about the speed of sound, but nowhere near as fast as before the struggle with Superboy Prime. If you're a little confused, don't worry. We'll definitely come back with a full history of The Flash in future episodes. Even through his continued popularity, Garrick was to be written out of DC continuity in 1986's Last Days of the Justice League, a story following the previous year's Crisis on Infinite Earths. Written by Roy and Dan Thomas, Last Days featured appearances from Atom, Batman, Dr. Fate, Dr. Midnight, Green Lantern, Huntress, Hawkman, The Spectre, and more. Luckily for fans, Garrick's appearance did not last long, and he was revived in the 90s as a World War II vet and became a staple of both JSA and Justice Society of America. He was once again rebooted with the New 52 as a young superhero living on an alternate Earth of the DC Universe. Let's skip talk of that for now, though, shall we? Let's instead focus on some great Flash stories involving the Golden Age Speedster. First up, we have Still Life in the Fast Lane by Grant Morrison and Mark Millar. Say what you will about Grant Morrison, but he can write one hell of a story. Flash Volume 2, number 134, takes readers through a day in the life of Jay Garrick as he fills in for Wally West, another version of the Flash, for a day as West is at home recuperating from a broken leg. A bad thing for a speedster, you can imagine. What makes the story great is that things quickly turn as Garrick attempts to save the life of one of his former adversaries from the Golden Age, the Thinker, who tells Garrick that he should learn to lose once in a while, instead of always trying to be a hero, right before the Thinker dies. If you prefer character-driven stories, it really doesn't get much better than this issue. Next up, of course, is going to be the origin of the Flash in Flash Comics number 1. Of course, any character origin story should always be a go-to tale if you really want to get to know what motivates a character, and Flash Comics number 1 is a great first appearance. Sure, it's pretty dated by modern comic book standards, but if you enjoy the campiness of Golden Age books, and if you can avoid the dated dialogue, it's a fun superhero story and one of the most important books of the past 75 years. And finally, Flash Volume 1, number 123, by Gardner Fox and Carmine Infantino. Now, not only is this a great creative team, but Flash 123 is arguably one of the most important single issues ever for the Flash, as Barry Allen meets his hero Jay Garrick and introduces the multiverse to DC fans. The world would never be the same, for better or for worse. Whether this issue will be an inspiration for what may happen in The Flash Season 2 remains to be seen, but it sure would be interesting to see the multiverse brought to life in the much more visual medium that is television. Comically is hosted by Martin Ferretti and is a production of the Nerdy Legion Network. Get in touch with us by visiting the website nerdylegion.com or email us topic suggestions at comicallyshow@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter @geekvine and let me know what you think.